Cavalcade of Kings. King John, Part 1. The Cavalcade of Kings rides on. Richard the Fast has passed by with the arrow of Bertrand de Gourdon in his side. And now the timid little figure of Prince Arthur approaches, closely followed by the sinister shadow of John, his uncle. John was born at Oxford on December the 24th, 1167, and was the youngest son of Henry II and the infamous Eleanor. Soon after Richard's death, John claimed the throne, seized the treasure, and was crowned at Westminster on May the 27th, 1199. Philip of France refused to acknowledge John's claim, and sometime later sent his ambassador, Count de la Marche, to the English court to demand justice for young Prince Arthur, the real heir and successor of Richard I. John received the young Count with his usual insolence at the palace in London.
And what does Philip of France hope to gain by placing my nephew Arthur on the English throne?
King Philip asks nothing but to see justice done, Your Majesty. Prince Arthur is the son of your elder brother, and therefore the rightful heir to the English throne. Surely you will not rob your dead brother's child of his inheritance.
A fatherless child on the throne of England would no doubt suit the ambitious schemes of your master admirably. A young sparrow would be more easily plucked than an eagle.
Even Jean of England will not be permitted to insult Philip of France in my presence. I must ask that you retract your words, Your Majesty.
You young poppycock, have a care lest I throw you into the tower for your impertinence.
Your Majesty would not dare, for to do so would be tantamount to a declaration of war against my royal master, whose ambassador I am.
Well, more important events are often the result of chance. And war might put an end to the interference of your royal master in my affairs.
In the matter of Prince Arthur, King Philip is supported by the barons of Anjou, Maine, and Touraine.
7 hours' sleep will make the fools change their minds.
Do not be too sure, Your Majesty. The people of Brittany, which is Arthur's inheritance, regard the child as sacred. There is an old legend which tells them that their king will be restored to them after hundreds of years. And they believe a prophecy will be fulfilled in Arthur.
Let not your tongue run away with your brains, my good Count de la Marche. Prophecy fulfilled in Arthur. Ignorant superstition.
Are you not also superstitious, Your Majesty?
I? No, odds blood, I'm not.
And yet he said that on occasions Your Majesty will not stir abroad unless he hangs charms and reliques round his neck.
Ah, what have I have? Rot you for a knave? You wear a charm yourself. Look at it dangling round your own cursed neck.
It is a locket, not a charm.
A locket, eh? What's inside it?
A portrait.
Oh, who? Show it to me, I would see it.
Do not touch it, Your Majesty.
You'll not prevent me, you young upstart. There, the chain is snapped. Now we'll see what this mystic locket contains. Ah, it is the likeness of a beautiful maiden. Her name?
Isabella of Angouleme.
Your kinswoman?
My future bride.
Perhaps.
What does Your Majesty mean?
Such beauty as Isabella's would grace a throne. Any throne. Perhaps even my throne.
Your Majesty forgets.
You're about to remind me of my present wife, eh? Huh? As easily discarded as a worn-out cloak. She wearies me, especially as all her wealth has by this time found its way into my coffers. It is time I looked around. High time, good Count de la Marche. And methinks there is no need for me to look farther than Isabella of Angoulême.
You infamous monster. Laugh, you devil, laugh. But you shall pay for your crimes, for your cruelty, for your fiendish punishments. The English court is a bed of infamy, where no woman is safe from the unbridled lust of the usurper who wears the crown. But you shall never lay your hands on Isabella of Angoulême. I would rather strike her dead at my feet.
Silence, you French dog! Is it to insult me that your master sent you to my court? Get you gone now at once, lest I throw you into the tower. And take this message to Philip of France. Tell him that the throne of England is mine, and what I have, I'll hold.
Philip took up the challenge thrown down by John, And in the war which ensued, young Prince Arthur, at the head of a small armed force, while endeavoring to capture his grandmother Eleanor at her castle of Mirabeau, was captured by John and imprisoned in the castle of Falaise. At the moment, we find John with his infamous mother Eleanor, now an old woman of 80.
John, my son, it was a strange family party. Aye, that it was. Young Arthur at the head of his knights besieging me, and you, his uncle, besieging him. Tell me, what have you done with him?
I've imprisoned him at Falaise.
Splendid. And his knights?
Need you ask, Mother?
No, my son. For your methods of dealing with those who offend you are as well known to me. Torture, starvation, death. Infallible methods. Infallible.
Oh, enough of Arthur and his followers. I would speak of more delightful things. Isabella of Angoulême, for instance.
Oh, my son. And what do you want of her?
Her youth, her beauty, and her...
money, my son. I know.
Well, don't stand there gibbering like the old hag that you are. Help me formulate some plan to take her.
I could invite her here, my son. Isabel is known for the kindness of her heart, and she won't refuse to visit her poor, lonely old woman. Within a few leagues of my castle, she could perchance be waylaid by ruffians, my son? And hey, presto! Before the maiden knew what was happening, she would be on board one of your ships and on her way to England.
Well, but she would never consent to marry me.
My son, surely I do not hear aright. Alone with you on board your vessel? John, and you say she would not marry you? Mark my words, she will be only too glad of the opportunity to save her shame from the world. Aye, that she will.
By the saints, I'll do it. 'Tis a good plan.
That's the way I like to hear you talk, my son. If you want a thing, take it. If you can't take it by fair means, take it by foul. And if anything stands in the path of your desires or ambitions, remove it. Do you hear, my son? Remove it.
Aye. You now refer to young Arthur.
Yes. While he lives, he will be a source of constant danger to you. And the older he grows, the more danger he will become. You must remove the obstacle, my son.
I know. But how?
A strong cord or a sharp blade in an unerring hand, my son. It would be easily done.
You black-hearted devil! I dare not. I dare not do it.
What?
I dare not do it. They would kill me.
Miserable coward. If thy stomach is too weak for the deed, then you must hire someone to do it for you.
I tell you what.
Wait. I have a better plan. Put out his eyes and imprison him for life instead. Even as Robert of Normandy was imprisoned when he dared watch you and pit his strength against the King of England.
But who is there that would do it?
Gold. Gold will buy anything. And I can lay my hands on certain ones who would even gladly put out thine eyes if I paid them well enough.
Are you asleep, young prince?
Nay, Hubert, what seek thee?
Wait, Highness. You may enter.
Who are these men, Hubert? Why do they carry a brazier full of red-hot coals? Branding irons! What are you going to do with them?
All in good time, Iris.
Hubert, I'm afraid, horribly afraid. Send these evil men away. Please, I implore you.
I can do nothing, Highness. Your uncle has sent them here, and I am but the warden of his castle.
I think they're hot enough now. Come, young prince. And I'll show you what we do to those who set themselves against John of England.
Oh, Hubert, save me, save me. They're going to put out mine eyes. Hubert, don't let them torture me. Plunge your sword into my heart and let me die.
Enough of this, we waste time.
Hubert, save me, save me.
Silence, thou squeaking little rat. The irons quickly.
Oh!
Stop! Stop, I say. I won't be a party to this devilry.
What, you dare to flout the orders of King John?
Yes. I'm as bad as you in most things, but I have never yet stained my soul with a deed of such foulness as ye would now perpetrate. Get out! Get out, both of you!
Ah, oh, you shall pay for this when the king hears our story. He has a special method of dealing with those who cross his path. Come, Tino, let us be gone.